everyone. Welcome to Reiki Radio. This is a weekly broadcast covering a range of topics to help improve daily life and mind-body well-being, self-healing and growth. Reiki Radio is really a platform to share and exchange because we learn and grow from each other's journeys and experiences. And if you're new to the show, just to let you know, we air every Wednesday at noon Pacific, and that's 3 p.m. Eastern. And my name is Yolanda, and I am a Reiki teacher here in San Diego, California. And today we have Ethel, as we do every week. Ethel is also a Reiki teacher.
Hi.
And today we have a special guest, Sophia Arredondo, and she is a coordinator for a drop-in youth center here in San Diego, California. And we're so excited to have you here today, Sophia.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Because today we are going to be talking about how to empower children. So we're very lucky to have her here with us today. And just as another reminder for everyone, the show is interactive. So feel free to call us. If you have any questions during the show, you can call us at 323-679-0953. And if you're listening online, you can also chat with us or send us questions through the chat room, which is on our site, blogtalkradio.com/Reiki Radio. And as I was mentioning before, today is about empowering children, and I thought this would be a really important topic for all of us, and I probably should have called it How to Empower Our Children, because it really takes a village, and we influence children, whether we're parents or not. And so Ethel was going to start us off with the show today.
Hi, everyone. And thank you for being here, Sophia.
Thank you.
Mother of two?
Yeah.
Great. And I'm a mother of one. And I think, as I say every week, this is such an important topic because I feel that so many of us parents are kind of just going through the motions with our parenting, almost modeling how we were parented. And it's not always serving it's not always to the best of the growth, the spiritual growth of our children. And so it's important for us, I think, at times to just stop and check in on how we're parenting, how we're honoring our children, how we're teaching them to grow up and become not only model citizens, but model citizens in the sense that as beings, as spiritual beings, and how they interact and express love to everyone. So I'm excited about this topic today. I'm excited to have you here. And even for those of you out there that are not raising children, children are in all of our lives, whether it's friends, children of friends or neighbors or what have you.
Teachers.
Children are just a part of all of us. And like Yolanda said, it's important for us to all be a part of the growth of these young spiritual beings because it does take a village.
It does take a village. And really, they're shaping the world around us. They're going to be the next leaders and the ones that shape the world around us. But one thing I was talking to Sophia about before we started the show, and I was in the shower yesterday thinking about this topic and thinking about the different people who have influenced me growing up, who, in addition to my mother, I mean, I was very fortunate to have her influence, but there are so many other people in my life who influenced me and encouraged me along the way. And unfortunately, there's so many children who don't have that directly at home. But then, again, if we all do our part and remember that all children are so special and we can influence and help them even indirectly just by even encouraging their parents, there are ways to influence kids.
Absolutely. Again, thank you for having me here today as a parent and also as kind of the life work that I've decided to do, being the coordinator of a drop-in youth center. I think my contribution often is, you know, their weekly is, and specifically, if I can say this, the youth center is for LGBT-identified youth. Ages 14 to 18, who are either already out with their sexual orientation or their gender identity, or they're just kind of on that path. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to parents, you know, the space isn't necessarily for parents. It's not for parents at all, actually. But, you know, parents will oftentimes drop their youth off. And one of the first things I ask a parent is, what kinds of resources do you need? What kind of support do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Because the parent often says, you know, I think my kid might be confused, or I want to be supportive, and that's why we're here. But often forgetting, like, that they have their own journey with their child, and what can they do for themselves that feels empowering to them versus kind of putting it all on the kid.
Right.
So I absolutely agree with, you know, how if we're not influencing children, we're absolutely influencing parents as well
with ideas and stories. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear even, you know, a parent may say, like, oh, my kid is into, you know, art or something that the parent just doesn't understand. And they're like, well, you know, I don't get it. And I don't know why they like this, just because it isn't something that the parent can identify with. And by saying that, like, encouraging the parent to encourage their child, sometimes people just need to feel like they're not going to be judged, or their child isn't going to be judged in some way. And knowing that other people will support them in supporting their child mm-hmm. oftentimes helps people to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you see that a lot in your work?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why I ask, you know, what kind of support do you need? Because I think oftentimes the parent, specifically in this situation, feels like they didn't do their job, they did something wrong, or the biggest concern is my child going to be happy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are other people still going to like my child? Are they going to judge me? So all of this stuff comes up for them, and so just kind of reminding them, like, there are support systems out there for you.
And what about with the children? So mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times, and even as, you know, we've all been children before and we know what that was like, and times we didn't feel heard, or we didn't feel like, or we can look back even as adults and think, oh, I wish I was more supported with these certain ventures. What is something that you commonly hear with the kids, or even you have a kid too, like, what do you commonly hear with children that they want to be supported in a certain way, or is it just about listening to them and them being heard, or what is usually the missing link?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question.
I'm not sure I have the answer.
Just
well,
in your opinion,
yeah,
what do you
yeah.
see?
Jump in here. I know for my son, one thing I do hear a lot is, you know, no, you're not listening to me.
Yeah.
And it's true. He may be trying to express something to me, and instead of actively listening, I'm talking back and trying to kind of twist what he's saying to kind of conform to what I think is best for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good about letting me know if I'm not hearing what he's saying. But what he does do is he shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't want to tell me anymore.
Right.
So I'm really working on, again, actively listening and for me, starting a conversation, responding to what he's saying. Do I hear you say this? Am I hearing you say that? And it generates a conversation where he feels more comfortable. And I find that as he's getting older, it's building confidence in him coming and talking to me. So, you know, I'm hoping that he's only 10, that this mm-hmm. can carry on through the teen years.
Well, that's something I think is really interesting. I was thinking about that as well, as just children being heard. And a lot of times, so many people are so busy that their child may be talking, but they're not really paying attention, and they're not giving the child their undivided attention. And kids know that. They pick up on that. So what do you feel about the importance of giving them your undivided attention and how that does influence their confidence level, and also showing them that they have a voice in the world and that their voice matters, as opposed to just kind of, oh, yeah, halfway listening mm-hmm. to them and not really responding to what it is that they're saying?
Yeah, I think I'm notorious for that. So I'm a mom, and then I run this youth center, but my kids are really good about holding me accountable for when I don't listen, and which is a hard lesson as a parent, you know. As an example would be just last night, I was with my son, and we went to sushi. It was like a late dinner. and we were almost done, and he was like, Mama, this is so nice. We haven't done this in a really long time. And I was like, what do you mean? We have dinner every night. And he's like, no, no, no. I just felt like I shared and you were listening to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I really need to think about, like, how do I hold spaces
right.
for my kids
right.
and really listen. So something that I've tried to do is when I know I don't have time to listen, it's in the car, it's on the way to school, let's set a time where I can really listen to you because I'm driving, there's traffic, da da da.
Right.
Like, really trying to be more mindful, but holding those spaces. So, something as easy as like a date with your son.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just their
it's
time.
Easy,
and
yeah.
I think that kind of happened organically for us last night, but really being mindful to do that more often.
I think that's such a good idea and good advice for parents because I think a lot of times people think we're in the same space, we're under the same roof,
yeah.
I'm there,
yeah.
like, what are you talking about? And not realizing that it's not a, what do you call it, kind of like a nurturing connection, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? It's not an interaction that's really feeding either one of you, you're just in the same space. But the child could be on the computer, you might be watching TV, whatever is going
mm-hmm.
on, there's that separation. And it's so huge for us to get back to connecting with each other.
Right.
And I think that today was so important. The show topic is so important because I wanted to talk about also starting to pay attention to children from birth. And something that Ethel and I were talking about the other day, from such an early age, you know, they say, like, that's when we're pure and we're, you know, we haven't been changed by different teachings and
there's
perceptions.
An awareness
yeah.
that they still have.
Right. So you're still that pure, you know, little Sophia, that
yeah.
pure little Ethel, and then you are taught all these different lessons throughout life and your perceptions change
mm-hmm.
and you adapt or adopt these different belief systems that may not really match who you really were or are as a person deep down. So did you want to talk about how maybe people can start to look at and recognize who their child is without trying to mold or shape or change who they really are, but really just seeing and allowing their child to blossom into who they are?
Well, for me, I think that goes back to what I said earlier, what we just said earlier, is honoring your child for who they are and not your idea of what you want them to be. You know, listening to their dreams, I want to be a firefighter, I want to be an astronaut. Work with that with them. Play imaginary games with them if that's what they're into. Really foster what they're saying to you and those dreams, because what that's doing, in my opinion, is just really strengthening the bond and their security and their trust in you, knowing that you're honoring what they say to you and how they feel about themselves and what their dreams are. So even from birth, this is a little off, but what you were saying from birth, it just triggered in me. Listen to what they have to say, the younger children, because there is an awareness, I believe, of a connection to source or divine connection that hasn't completely dropped and fallen away by the wayside. So there could be wisdom in their words that you just weren't aware of. I mean, there could be messages there for you. So really listen to what they have to say. Honor what they have to say. Those are some tips, the things that I can think of offhand.
Yeah. I would add also perhaps, and I agree, but I would also add modeling that play and modeling that dream. So if I'm, you know, constantly talking about, oh, I would love to take a dance class, I would love to do pottery, I would love to do something that makes me happy, that's for me, and really doing it and showing that at 30, at 40 or whatever, that I'm still playful, that I'm still taking care of myself too and honoring the things that make me happy. And I only say that because I've heard my kids say, you know, they're so good at this, and I feel like I need to be better at this. They're so good at, like, acknowledging when I do good for myself, you
right.
know, and the importance that shows for them to do the same. So,
That's really huge. And as you were talking, it reminded me of, you know, I've known Sophia for some years now, at least 6 years mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And since I've known you, I've always told you I admire your parenting style. And in the conversation, I just realized that you remind me a lot of my mom mm-hmm. and the way that you expose your children to so many things. And this is something that Ethel and I have talked about in previous shows, but more specific to taking ourselves out to do new things and trying new things so that we know, as adults even, what it is that we like and what we enjoy. Mm-hmm. But you just reminded me of how you do that with your children. You expose them to so many different things and the arts and a lot of things that people may not even think to expose their children to. And like I said, I feel very fortunate that my mom did the same. And I think even giving children, getting them off the video game and taking them out and teaching them about culture and showing them a museum or taking them to just try new foods, try new things, I think that's a great way of helping to empower them too and showing them that there's more out there than just, you know, technology. And I think sometimes people are so busy and they may stick their kid, or not stick their kids in front of the TV, but you know, there are a lot of distractions for kids nowadays. And I think sometimes that can be easier for people. They feel they don't have to worry about, oh, well, they have their video games or they're taking care of, they're on the computer, I don't have to worry about it. But it's still the job of adults to expose children to what is out there. And we can't be question like what we see on TV about these kids doing all of these violent things when they're sitting playing these violent games all day and then ask why. There has to be at some point some accountability for what children are exposed to.
Yeah, I agree.
So do you find that children have some different things that they may be interested in or they want to be exposed to, but as parents, I mean, is it a difficult thing? Or even at your youth center, are there things that the kids come to you and say they've always wanted to do, but just no one has had the time to take them?
Sure, all the time. And I think what's unique about our youth center is that we're targeting a specific population mm-hmm. and a specific age group, but one that at school may not feel comfortable, out in public they might not feel comfortable, or we still have youth that are like, oh, I live in East County and I thought it was really the only youth out there that's queer, you know. Mm-hmm. So first of all, like providing a safe and affirming space for just who you are, mm-hmm. you know, is like, oh, I just love being here. I just love spending time here. There are other people like myself. And then the longer they stay, then it's like, hey, you know, I have this interest in art. I have this interest in music. I don't have that at my school, or my parents can't afford this, or whatever. So trying our best with the resources that we have to provide, you know, educational programming, but also social events and cultural ones. So my job is really to reach out to the community. We have some partnerships with different theaters, so we get free tickets oftentimes to shows, things like that, things that oftentimes they would never have access to. So some one thing that you made me think of, Yolanda, when you were talking about, you know, accountability and exposing kids to different things, oftentimes resources don't exist for some parents to be able to mm-hmm. do that. And I really think then it's the community's role to be able to provide access to those things that parents can't always do, maybe because of time, jobs, two jobs. I mean, for a while I was working three jobs and raising the kids. You know, and I didn't have energy to play. I didn't have energy to do the things that we used to do.
And I think that is mm-hmm. a great point. And that's why at the top of the show I was saying I think it yeah. should be called Empowering Our Children, because yeah. it does take a village. Mm-hmm. And I was also thinking about, I have an aunt who, you know, she's already raised her kids. She has grandchildren. She may even have great-grandchildren at this point. But she still wanted to help youth. So she started a nonprofit mm-hmm. in Maryland where she wanted to make sure children that, you know, maybe their parents didn't have the means to make sure they had, you know, hot food every day. She wanted to make sure they had those meals. And she also wanted to make sure they had a space where they could use computers and come do their homework and just have a safe space to, you know, be kids and be after school, a place where they were supported in focusing on their schoolwork and these types of things. So I think it really does take a community. And that's why I think even what you do is so amazing. And there are so many people who donate to foster care. You know, I dated someone who was a director of a foster care facility, and at Christmas time, we would go sometimes out of our own pocket to make sure that these kids had toys and, you know, something that they wanted for themselves on their list. And no, they're not my children. They weren't her children. They're not whatever. Mm-hmm. But they are all our children, right. And that we are all one and we're all connected, and we do have an impact on each other. And it is important that we all start paying attention to that and stepping into that, well, acknowledging that we all play a role in this next generation and what's going on in the world around us. You look like you're going to say something. Does that remind you of something? No. Another thing I wanted to talk about is with the children and, you know, how as parents do you, both of you, how do you recognize, you know, the uniqueness in your child? You know, like you have two children, they obviously they have very different personalities, and you know, you have a son and he's 9 now. As they're growing from a very young age, how would you tell parents, or what recommendations do you have for them to like see and recognize that uniqueness in them, and then how maybe you've fostered that?
Well, with the I feel like I got a second chance with the second child. I'm sure that there are many parents that probably feel the same way that have more than one child, you know? And they're just two very different kids, you know?
Yeah.
My first was Olivia, and just very boisterous and loves to talk and was just soaking in so much at such a young age and had something to say about everything, still does. I just tried to expose her to just everything, and I dragged her to everything. Like, I was very much an activist at the time, and so she went to rallies, and she went to protests, and she went to school with me, and she went to art classes and everything. But I could see that she was just this little sponge, and she loved talking to adults, and she loved just sitting there looking and listening to adult conversations, you know. And actually, she reminded me a lot of myself as a kid, because that's what I used to do. And then my son, very different, very quiet, an observer, still taking everything in, but very quietly. I pushed Olivia to do a lot of things. I recognize now I probably pushed a little too hard sometimes. But with Sabat, my son, because he was different, there was just something about, like, just listen to his temperament. He told me when he was ready to go to preschool. He told me when he was ready to take dance classes. He told me when he was ready for things. And I listened, and so I didn't push quite as much. The difference I see, though, is that Olivia was very independent from then on, and Sabas has kind of tried to figure out his independence and is only kind of figuring it out now. But I feel like I did a pretty good job with both, just kind of listening to their wants and their needs. But on a really basic level, so I was talking with my son yesterday, and also acknowledging to my partner that it wasn't until she came into our lives that I started recognizing the little things, like coming home and not saying, "Oh, why aren't the dishes done?" and "Oh, he left your shoes in front of the door again," or the right. jacket on the floor, or whatever. And instead, shifting and always starting with something positive. Like, she brought that into our lives, and he said this in front of her before we left the space that we were in about, "Yeah, that's Mama has really changed in that way, and it's been a really positive thing, you know, something that small.
Right.
And in the car, though, on the ride home, he was like, I don't think you realize how much that has impacted us, both Olivia and I, like, just the energy, like, if you all do energy work, you know, and coming into a home that's supposed to be able to feel safe and affirming and warm and, you know, a place you want to come to, that the parent come home and treat it like a home,
right.
You know, and I wasn't doing that. I wasn't coming home and treating it like a home. I was coming home and making it feel tense and aggressive, and that shift was so important, and that's something really small.
No, but it's,
you know?
Huge.
But it's huge, right?
It is huge, and I think a lot of parents, like you were saying, you're working multiple jobs, and I think of growing up, my mom, she was a single mom, and she was working all the time to make sure I had everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times parents, you know, they do work so much, and they want to make sure their children have everything, and then, you know, in the parents' eyes, it's like, you have everything, just appreciate things, take care of your stuff, and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Forgetting that the kid, at the end of the day, just needs some nurturing.
Yeah.
Just wants to hear, you know, like, I love you, or how was your day?
Hug
them. Yeah, yeah, hug them. Or just taking that time to connect with them. I mean, yeah, all the stuff is great, and that's wonderful. You know, you have a roof over your child's head and these things. But for a kid, that connection is so much more than anything you could give them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a huge thing to share with parents.
That made me think of last night. My son wasn't feeling well, and I was going to put him to bed, and I actually talked him in, and he started to, little eyes welled up, and I said, what's wrong? So he just looked at me. I said, come sleep in my bed.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to share my bed with him because he sleeps in a circle. He just kind of kicks and spins, and so he was so happy, so he jumped in my bed. So this morning, I woke up really early this morning, and I let him sleep in a little bit. And he reached his hand out. I was sitting next to him in the bed. He reached his hand out, and I grabbed his hand. And he goes, that makes me feel better. This was a few moments later, and I wasn't sure what he was talking about. And I said, what's that? He goes, just holding your hand.
Oh.
And I thought, oh. And I wasn't raised with parents that were very touchy-feely and did a lot of hugs. So even though he's 10 and he really loves that, it's still sometimes a little, I'm going to say uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Not uncomfortable for me, but just not something I naturally go to do with him. And when he said that, it just really made me stop and think, I've got to connect with him more and just stop and hug him. I do make a point to kiss him in the morning, kiss him at bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
But it's set in between those waking hours where he really needs that assurance. Because that's the type of person he is. He needs the touch. So that kind of goes along the lines of, you know, finding out what it is your little individual needs, that little person needs. Everyone has different needs.
Yeah.
So it's keying into those needs and really providing, loving and supporting those needs that makes a difference in how your children go throughout their day and how they grow up.
But even, I think that's a big thing, and it's very important that you can acknowledge that even though this isn't what I received, this is what my child needs, and so I'm going to try my best to work that out. Because I think sometimes people will also say, well, I didn't have that, so why am I going to do that for my child? And again, all of us were children, and we've all had different experiences and different journeys along the way. And if we hold back from children something because we didn't receive it, think of as an adult, if that's a particular thing you're struggling through or you're working through on yourself.
Yeah.
We're all working through so many things, and a lot of it stems from childhood and what those experiences were. So even with that in mind, when we approach children thinking of how impressionable they are at this stage and how much of what is going on in their life is going to influence the type of adult that they become. And, I mean, you know, my mind just went to another place thinking about how different people can impact and influence children's lives. I think of how you hear a lot of stars say, you see on TV, so many people say how hard their childhood was or they had absent parents, but then there was some person, one person, who made such a difference in their life and it was just because this person paid attention to them, and this person told them they could do it, whatever it is that they wanted to do. So it doesn't take much. I mean, it does seem like little things, and that may be why they are bypassed or we don't pay attention to doing them, because we think they're so little,
right.
But really those are the most significant.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I wanted to bring up that I felt was important today is empowerment through, and I'm going to use the word discipline, but I also want to switch into like redirection. Because I think for a lot of parents, we discipline the way our parents disciplined us. And I think a good question for yourself as a parent is this serving or is this for the best of my child and how I choose to discipline? And I would like to ask you, Sophia, how do you handle situations where you need to discipline your children? And do you find it, are you doing it, are you empowering them through discipline, or how do you feel about discipline?
What are your thoughts?
Like, are you talking about my kids or the people that you said and the children?
Right.
Well, those are your children,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
So, oh, that is interesting.
That's been a challenge for sure, particularly the now 18-year-old, right? So high school was... She pushed boundaries, mm-hmm. you know. The discipline was definitely not the same as it was when she was 13 or
right.
when she was 8, you know. And so since that's the freshest in my memory, I don't think that I, and so this is where I sit with some privilege, is that I don't think that I could have made it through those years without my partner, like just, I always want to believe the best, and so in that I can be naive,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm like, oh, no, she's not doing that. She's not doing that.
No,
she's not doing that. And I can also be defensive about that, like, mm-hmm. because then it's like a reflection on me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm not answering your question. I'm, like, processing through it.
No,
but,
absolutely.
But I needed that second set of eyes and that second heart to help me through those years, because I just wanted to hope for the best, you know, and was not being realistic about what she was interested in doing and what she was doing and not doing with school and just everything. And so discipline wise, there was a lot of conversation.
Good.
You know, I feel like we sat her down and we really only asked that she not lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like lying was the biggest thing. And I realized in that, like, that, so how do we build trust with you, Olivia? You know, tell us what you need so that we can have this mutual relationship of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that age, I think it's appropriate. I think it's appropriate to have a dialogue. They have a lot of things to say. They have experienced things
mm-hmm.
that we take for granted and we don't give them credit for having experience. They have opinions.
Right.
You know? So I think the dialogue was really important. And then also saying, these are our rules. And you cannot do this in our home. But also then being realistic about the preparation for being independent in the real world in college. And she's trying to figure that out. And she's also realizing, oh, I'm a little homesick. And, you know, I want a home-cooked meal and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And I think she's become much more appreciative for all of that. And so I think we use the same method at the youth center. I mean, there are rules, there are guidelines. We call them agreements.
Oh,
so,
like
again, that feels more of an equal playing field or a level playing field. In that you agree to do this, and we agree to create the space for you and to maintain it, and so that you can, you know, experience it as
like
fully as possible.
They're a partner to the rules.
Yes,
absolutely.
So
like
we have
that.
Family meetings. We have monthly family meetings at the youth center, and we frame it around family because oftentimes they're not coming from a family that might necessarily be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what. All, if there are families out there that are. I mean, I think we're
right.
all going to have our dysfunctions. But But then, yes, holding them accountable. So what is the kind of family? Here's your chance to create a family that you want. So these are all your brothers and your sisters, and we're your mentors and whatnot. But you get to invest in what this looks like, you know. And so when you break an agreement, then we have to hold you accountable, you have to hold yourself accountable, and we have a conversation about that. And none of them ever want to lose the space. So
right.
None of them have ever done.
You just
yeah.
said they have a part in... there was something you just said. It was you just said about them having a part in it.
An
like
investment?
Their investment, but you're creating a situation where they also play a significant role.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important for a lot of parents to hear, too, because, you know, they think, or they just go into the role of, I'm the parent, that's it, you're the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, and it's been generational, that we've been taught, like, children don't have a voice, they're seen and not heard, or these
right.
types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And to then hear you say about creating a space where the child does have a voice and they are being heard and they play a role in the function of their family
mm-hmm.
and the function of their household in their own environment, I think
yeah.
that's a huge thing for parents
mm-hmm.
to hear.
I love that agreement part because that's
yeah.
what I do at home with my son. I actually allow him the chance to set this punishment.
Mm.
And what I found is that he is much harder on himself than I would ever be.
Uh-huh.
So even with, he has a problem with the television and he'll turn the volume up really loud.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives me crazy. So we have a number he has to keep the volume at. And if the number goes higher than, I said to him one day, that's the end.
Yeah.
What's the punishment going to be if the number exceeds 13?
Mm-hmm.
So he thought about it. It's like, I'll have to, I believe it was not watch TV for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have done that? Probably. Of course I wouldn't have. I said, okay. That happens again, no TV for 2 days. And because he set the standard,
yeah.
it's easier for him to abide to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the part that, you know, sitting down and kind of co-creating these rules and laws and
right.
structure for the home and for the
mm-hmm.
family and how
mm-hmm.
we're going to exist as a family really makes the child want to participate more and be held accountable and their standards are raised because they've been a part of this family structure. It's not
mm-hmm.
just, I'm like you said, I'm the parent, these are the rules,
mm-hmm.
abide by them. No, we're all coexisting. And I think that's a wonderful thing to
and
include.
It probably helps them to learn about mutual respect, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not so much, I mean, there still may be some rebellion involved, because,
mm-hmm.
but you're probably likely to rebel more if you feel you're not being heard, because that's
mm-hmm.
the only option, really. You know, sometimes going to those extremes, or that's what you feel is your option. But, I think in allowing children to participate in the adult conversations, to, you know, in this
right.
frame that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It probably also teaches them a level of mutual respect and having respect for themselves and boundaries and rules, especially if they understand the rules because they were a part of making them.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times mm-hmm. they break them because they don't get it and they think
mm-hmm.
you're just telling me what to do, you
yeah.
know, that type of
mm-hmm.
thing. So, yeah, that could change the whole perspective for them.
Absolutely.
You guys are giving some good advice today.
Get yourself a baby.
Yeah. Oh, my mom would be excited about that. Mom, with friends like this around me, maybe I could be a parent. No. I think those are really great tips. So we have about 20 minutes left in the show, and usually before we wrap it up and end it, were there any other topics that you wanted to cover before we go? Were there some other...
You know, I was just thinking of some really concrete tips we can possibly maybe put out
yeah.
for parents.
Well, that's what I was going to do, but I wanted to see if
no.
was another topic you wanted to, anything that you wanted to tap into before we go into maybe some takeaways for parents.
Only because you mentioned friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think for myself, when I left my kid's father, I had already a really great core group of friends, and they were part of my support system, but of course they remained my support system. They also became tias, they became aunts and, you know, aunties to, and uncles to my kids. And I think that that, I think that that's really important. And maybe that's also because I'm part of the LGBT community, and so our, like, family is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so we create these extended families. Mm-hmm. But I think that exposing your kids to friends and doing things with your kids with your friends so that mm-hmm. they get to see you to be human, like
right.
not just parents.
Right.
That was a huge thing for me to see at 11 when I went to with my mother to her home country. And I just discovered, like, oh my God, this parent is a woman,
right.
you know, with a life, and she's laughing, and she's got all these stories, and getting to see bits and pieces of her and and understanding who she had become because of these life experiences was so important. And so I definitely try my best to bring my kids into that world as
yeah.
well. It doesn't have to be a separate world. And so those people are also their mentors, you know, and they know that they can depend on them for things when the rest of us can't, you know.
But that's also a great way to mirror to your children mm-hmm. what type of adult to be, not necessarily, I hate to say what type of adult, but just your adult self. You stepped outside of mom,
mm-hmm.
and here I am surrounded by friends and people that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So they're observing your every move
yeah.
all of the time. So it's a great way to show them how to become the adult them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and our kids look up to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a really important
yeah.
tip.
But I think it also gives them a level of understanding. A lot of times, children and even teenagers, I'd say more probably even in the teen years, you may have like these frustrations or animosities towards your parents because you don't really understand what's going on in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You just know that they're, like, you know, putting these restrictions or guidelines and all of
right.
these things. But if you really know what is going on with your parent and you see them as a human, as another person, and understand that, you know, they had a long day at work and they have these stresses and they have you know, times where they do laugh and get silly and have friends,
yeah.
I think it also allows the child to have a different level of appreciation for their parent because they're not just stuck in that box. They really
mm-hmm.
see the human with them, and they can connect and relate to their parent in that way.
Yeah.
So I think that is a huge thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you reminded me of when you were saying the family and being around friends and how, you know, in so many ways all of us create our own families and the friends that we choose and
yeah.
Think of how many people in our lives, especially in different cultures,
mm-hmm.
I'll say, that you call your parents' friends aunt and uncle
mm-hmm.
and your parents' friends' kids are all your cousins
right.
and everyone, you know, it really is so surrounded in community. And you think of some cultures too where it literally the whole village raises a child,
mm-hmm.
and there's something, it's just very loving, and I think there is a sense of security that must come from knowing that you are so loved, and you are so supported, and you are being guided by so many people. Like, there has to be something in that gives you a sense of strength, and knowing
mm-hmm.
that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I hope that anyone listening takes away with, you know, whether they're a parent or not, just recognizing the important role that they do play in the lives of the children around us, the children in the world, period. Were there some takeaways that you wanted to give?
You know, I really like what you said earlier about finding a time, because we're all so busy with work and life
mm-hmm.
in general, finding time for your children or with your children to talk. And at my house, it's pillow talk time. It's when I tuck him into bed, that's his time, and that's the space where he feels most comfortable to really let me know, and he does let me know what he's feeling and going through. I mean, there's been some kind of hardcore times at bedtime where he's just kind of really released.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one thing I would say is find that time, set aside time with your children to talk and allow them to talk to you. And tell you what they feel and what they're going through.
Seems like a lot of what has been said today kind of revolves around being heard.
Mm-hmm.
So much of it just came down
yeah.
to holding a space for them to be heard. With you, with being a mom and also working at the youth center, what would be some takeaway that you would hope people would get from all the conversation today, something they could really hold on to?
I would also agree with Ethel as far as, you know, again, holding a space for listening, for play, for feeling, for really feeling like a priority, for being acknowledged. But then also, you know, Yolanda so eloquently said just now with, you know, that you impact kids' lives. So if it's, if there's a kid on the bus that you see every day, you know, just that acknowledgement, you know, hey, we ride the same bus, or the child at school, or becoming a big brother, big sister, whatever it is, however you can contribute to a kid's life or multiple kids' lives, you know, do it as much as you can. And then thinking about access. So what are the spaces where kids gather? You know, San Diego, the youth center is the only one of its kind, you know, in a city that has over a million people, you know. So supporting youth-only spaces where youth can come together and come up with agreements and a family that works for them, you know, I think is also really important. So that social responsibility to our kids, I think is also really important.
I love it. What were you
When you say agreements, reminded me, incorporate your children into the decision-making. It builds trust. Mm-hmm. It shows that you believe in them, that they matter, that they are a part of the family. So I think that is really important. And another thing I want to say, in the morning, I do this with my son, and I hope it makes a difference in his life. We're always in a rush in the morning. Mm-hmm. Before he gets out of the car, or even like for others, before your kids leave for school, say one positive thing to them, mm-hmm. even if it's you look nice today. Mm-hmm. It really catches someone off guard, and it sends them off feeling good about themselves. Yeah. So be mindful what you say before you part for the day, because that might set them up to have a wonderful rest of the day.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that all of those were great tips, and I think we covered a lot today. And one of the things we did touch on, but we didn't go too deep into, but also reminding people to also encourage the dreams and the talents mm-hmm. of their children. And even if it's something that you, as a parent, can't necessarily resonate with, or you don't understand it, still support the talents and the dreams of your children. I mean, that, who knows what they will become, and it's so much better to nurture that in them now so that they could be the best version of themselves instead of later in life trying to figure it out for themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good thing for people to keep in mind. And I want to thank Ethel for being here. Every week we do the show, and I really want to thank you, Sophia.
It's so fun
to have you here today.
Yes.
All different topics. And for anyone listening, thank you so much for joining us today. And we'll be here next week. We're here every Wednesday, noon Pacific, and that's 3 p.m. Eastern. Next week, we are going to be talking about You're Worth the Money. And that's really about the energy of exchange, because there's so many people now who are, especially with the economy and things, that are going into business for themselves. And even people who are artists or people who have some kind of craft, but they feel uncomfortable with the exchange of money for their services. So we're going to be talking about that next week and the energy of exchange. So is there anything you want to say, last words?
Great show, great topic. Honor your children, listen to your children, hug your children.
Hug your children. Praise your children.
Praise your children. Yeah. Love your children.
Love each other.
And I was going to say someone else's child, too.
Yes, be kind to everyone, but really, really hold loving space for the children. Thank you all for joining us
today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.